Kami mengajar di sekolah dengan siswa yang seluruhnya Muslim. Bagaimana cara kami mengajar toleransi ke peserta didik yang homogen tersebut?
Well, thank you for asking this non-Muslim. I am honored by your question. All I can do in answering is give you the perspective of a Muslim woman who taught me something. And so it has to do with Afghanistan. Maybe 15 years ago, there was a delegation of Afghan women in America. And some of them were members of parliament, in part because some of them were businesswomen. And I said, I've never been to Afghanistan, I've been to Pakistan. My impression is that the culture and the religion, the faith is very conservative. Tell me how you engage your context. Why are you allowed to be in parliament? And this was her answer, a Muslim woman, Sunni Muslim from Afghanistan. She said, I went back to my holy scriptures. And I read that the wife of the prophet, peace be upon him, Khadija, was a businesswoman. She gave the prophet, peace be upon him, his first job. Well, why can't I do the same thing? Why can't I be educated to do the same thing? To be a businesswoman, to be a contributor to society, to be a leader in my province, in my country. So my answer to you is go back to your scriptures and your examples. What are the examples that teach you about the other? I can't tell you what those are. I can share with you what mine are, and I'll give you two examples on Friday. But what are your examples about tolerance, about engaging the other? I'll give you one example from another friend of mine. Well, two examples. We've got maybe 3 minutes here, Nafiq. Let me go with this for a second. I met a woman who founded a madrasa in Syria. It was only for women. Her name is Dr. Rufaida Hamsho. And we met at a conference and we spent a day, we were teamed together to talk about the meaning of sovereignty of God. It was fascinating. I learned so much from her. But she invited me to Syria and she told me this story. She was in the town of Hama, Syria, which is north of Damascus. And she said to the leaders of the town, you are practicing cultural Islam. You are not letting women have a voice. Where does it say in the Holy Quran that I cannot have a madrasa for women? And all the muftis and the imams could not find a scriptural reference to stop her. So she created a madrasa for women to produce empathetic thinkers. This is before the Civil War. The school was burned to the ground during the war, which is very sad. But she went back to her scriptures too, to illustrate this point that if I'm consistent with scripture, which is to say I am practicing an orthodox form of my faith, lowercase o, then I should be allowed to do it. Culture should not get in the way because the faith transcends culture. So what is it that teaches you that? So I asked her this question, and this is my second example. I said, how do you think about Christians? Sometimes Muslims are not treated well in America. Sometimes Christians are not treated well in Muslim majority countries. There's no tolerance to your question. She told me the story of King Negus, which of course I had never heard before. And King Negus was a Christian king in Abyssinia, which is now Ethiopia. And the first martyr of Islam is a woman. Forgive me, I forgot her name. But when Muslims were being persecuted by the Quraishi tribe, the tribe of Muhammad, peace be upon him, Muhammad sent some of his followers to King Negus in Abyssinia. And King Negus, a Christian, protected them. I never knew this story, but that's how she thought about protecting Christians in her Muslim-majority country. That's how she thought about tolerance. So whether it's the Ahadith or the Holy Quran, what are the examples that you use to understand your faith and to teach it practically to your students? That is for you to decide. But those are the examples that have been given to me by female leaders from Afghanistan and Syria.